They say that no one in the amateur game knows the amateur better than the fellow who sells him his amateur gear. He should know. This man has been in this business now, I think, since what is known as the Golden 20s, when anybody that could get a pair of earphones onto a salad bowl was a manufacturer of loudspeakers. This man, strangely enough, is too well known to you all, I'm sure, to deserve an introduction, but we have to give him one because he came from a long way. What's remarkable to me is not that he retains a sense of humor after having to make his living from dealing with hams all his life. The fact is he's a comedian. He doesn't like to have this known, but I got smart to him a long time ago. That's the way I'm introducing him to you tonight. He gets around to all our ham fests. He has a long dead pan, smokes a big cigar, and he never cracks a smile. But behind it all, he's a ham at heart. I mean the other kind, the comedian. Uncle Dave!
This is made for a guy that isn't afraid of an RF burn or something with that hangover I got. In case you haven't seen it. No, but I'm the guy that usually follows the intermission that gives you a chance to make the restroom and get cleaned out fast. Then you come back and this is what you're going to wind up with. Might be a lot of crap, but I'd make a living at it. But I tell you, everything was going along good. I was supposed to come up with three fellas to come up to this shindig. So Howard McGuire had W1SS and Doris there. So he wanted to drive up with them, and I waited for the other guys, and 20 minutes of one, I decided to take off. So I didn't have anything to eat, drove all the way, didn't have time to stop for gas because I passed Howard, who started out 2 hours ahead of me. I passed him, and I let him lead the way from then on in, and then, of course, we sobered down to about an even 60. And finally, we wound up in Bruce's farm. And there were four things I needed. One, I needed food very badly. I was out of gas, and I had the nervous tremens, and I had to go. So I asked Bruce where to go. He says, he was so busy. He says, go behind that barn there. Well, I went behind the barn, but he didn't tell me about that big dog, the big bitch he's got there. And she had a little bit of a cold nose and give it to me, and I lost my inclination. So I didn't have a chance. And that's the McCoy. I'm not trying to kid you about that. See? Now, I tell you, I came up here. I've got a living to make, and I was bribed to talk about Rayco coils, and I feel... I don't know what the damn things are, but I feel like the nurse that just started on the ward that had a few rectal thermometers, and she wanted to know what to do with them, and that's what the Rayco coils are good for. Don't forget, the plug's out. Well, you know, I'm supposed to say something about the old days. What the hell have I got here about the old days? All I know is that I used to work on the broadcast band. I didn't know any different, and I don't know any different today. And I remember the first transmitter. First let me go back a little bit, how I got started in the ham game. I happened to go down to New York City. I had two dopes, you know, some young hams starting out. And they came into the place and they sold me a bill of goods on billing a transmitter. So I had them give me a list of parts. I was playing with radio parts then. And they gave me that list and I went down to New York City and down along Jip or Clip Row. That's my people I'm talking about now, you know. In fact, my brother's a rabbi. He's doing a little surgery on the side. Well, he gets you... Well, that's the beginning, anyway. I went down to New York, and I remember getting on... I think it was West Broadway, or some of you old-timers remember, Weiler Sagard. And I went in there, and I had this long list. I think there was five items. And there was an Allen Bradley radio stat, which was $5.50. You want to get it down to my level?
No, I want to take a picture of you.
Gee, this is terrific. I wouldn't mind. I don't mind talking to this, but this goddamn cheap thing. Gee. It must have been a donation from one of your distributors up here. Watch it. But anyway, I got in a wireless Seged, and I picked out the radio stat, and it was, they said list price $5.50, and then I need a Western meter, and that was $8. And then I needed a crystal, and the crystal, I think, was $12.50, which was a very, very cheap price. So I said, I am in the radio business. I give my card. I says, am I entitled to a discount? He says, yes, 10%. Oh, that was the birthplace. I said, there's room for a good chiseler in this game. And that's how I got started. I'm not trying to kid you. Then you probably want to know how I got the name of Uncle Dave. Well, I think Howard McGuire can probably bear me out. There was a fellow by the name of Jim Thompson that got blew hot and cold in the radio game. And I always admired the fellow. He long since passed away. I think it was the plane with high voltage. He used to measure the high voltage with lines across the floor, and then he'd put his hands on it. As far back as he got knocked, that's the voltage, you know? But in those days, we had to buy surplus junk. We haven't changed much, but of course, it's polished off a little bit better, that's all. And we need the money, so you keep buying the tripe, and it'll pay for my trip up here. But anyway, Jim Thompson finally got on the air, and I was listening, and he said he wants to sell out again, and that's the third time, so I bought him out, and then at that time, oh, well, I can't mess, because you see, I'm the only guy that had three brass balls. See? I'll go further into that later. Yeah, a little bit young here. But I tell you, I got in there, and I bought Jim out, and I think it was the third time, and then it was old ABBQ. Maybe a lot of you fellas remember the voice of General Schuyler down in Schuylerville. Well, John Herron, who has since passed away, was W2AO or EAO or something like that in Schuyler. He was a bootlegger, I mean, more ways than one. I mean, he really sold the stuff, see? And that's the way I got acquainted with him, because I swapped a microphone for a bottle of hooch with him once. The label was genuine. But John was a good guy, and I never forgot him for that, because he got on the air, and when he heard that I bought Jim Thompson out again, he called me Uncle Dave, because I did have a pawn shop affiliation. I did work in one of those joints for 3 years, and I stole so goddamn much, the boss went out of business. But that's why I am fairly successful. I know all the weak spots in the business. I got an Irish son-in-law that watches the register, and I got two heaps watching him. See? Yeah. So you will appreciate one thing. Now, not to be sacrilegious or cast any aspersions on any particular faith, but I am Jewish. I don't think it's any secret. Well, there is no secret now. And my wife is an Episcopalian. My daughter, she graduated Vincentian Institute, excuse the expression, and she married an Irishman that got through St. Michael's College, a little overgrown singer's midget, see? But a good guy, honest, because he has holes in his pocket, so he don't know where to keep it. And, well, he'd give you a glass eye if you dropped it. He had no use for it. He'll give it back to you. But my son-in-law is a good Irishman. I got three Irish grandchildren. My son, my pride and joy, is now going to be 18. But he sang in St. Paul's Episcopal Choir and used to get $1.75 a month, and he used to cost me $2 a week for carfare. So my Jewish blood rebelled at the lousy percentage, so I made the stinker quit, and he's going into a Chinese choral group now. See? But, so you can get an idea what I'm trying to tell you. When I came in... What, my time up?
There's a message here.
A message? Yeah. From Gosher? This is going back a few years.
No, there's a message here for... It's hard to...
Yeah, you better have my glasses.
Dave Marks, it says, if he's here. The cloakroom attendant says your overcoat is leaking.
That's an understatement. If the truth were known... if the truth were known, it ain't my undercoat that sprung a leak. It's me. I didn't go yet. And it's an inside job, in case you see anything going on. But where the devil was I? So I don't want you to think I'm sacrilegious or anything, so you know that I've got everybody's faith. And incidentally, I go to my synagogue when they need money, and my wife goes to her church, my son goes to one of his, whatever they are, and my daughter goes to hers. So we have everybody's faith in our particular family. But the reason I'm bringing this up, so you won't think I'm out of order, because I know when I saw that mob, oh, it works. So I got to talk with the hands, I'm lost, you know. So all I remember, I was so darn hungry, I said, gee, I got to have a hot dog or something. I've got to, before I get up here, because I'm really famished. So I went downstairs, and as we got in there, I saw that whole big mob waiting in line. And then I see Bruce Kelly come in, and gee, I was going to follow him in, but I saw him go like that, and that reminds me of the picture of your Lord and the Last Supper. Everybody separate checks, please, you know. It was wonderful. But, you know, I did hell with the radio business anyway. The only other thing I remember is that the time that Pat, I think it's a good story, what the hell, you don't care, do you? It's on tape, is it?
That's on tape, don't worry.
Chop it. Doris, you'll forgive me. You heard the story of Pat, who was a very, very bad sinner all his life. He's been a bad Catholic. He never went to church, never made mass, did everything wrong, saw peddled dope, and really ran a house of ill repute. I got a better word than that for you. Gee, this is the first time I've ever had to keep the damn thing clean. But he, all his life, he was nothing but a sinner. Finally, he got near the end of the rope, and he decided this would be a good time to change. He had amassed himself a fortune, so he turned around and started to become a good Catholic. He went to church regularly, attended mass, started to contribute to all the various institutions, and sure enough, he passed on. And as he was going up, sure enough, St. Peter stopped him at the gate. Why, Pat, he says, Pat, I thought for a long time you weren't going to make it. Oh, he says, Pat, he says, thank goodness you saw the light. Come aboard, my son. Is there anything I can do for you? He says, yes, he said, I'd like to meet the Virgin Mary. Now, I'd like to ask her a question. So he says, come in. That'll be easily arranged. So he brings him in. He says, Mother, this is Pat, who's lived in sin for many years, but he's done so much for Catholicism. I asked him to come in here, and he wanted to meet you. He wants to ask you a question. Go ahead, Pat. He says, Mother, what does it feel like to be the mother of such a famous son? She looked up at him, and she says, well, to tell you the truth, I was really expecting a little girl. All right. See. That's a clean one. I'm sorry. Want to go back to the radio business. That's where my bread and butter is. You know? Oh, W2RGA wants a trade. Oh, that's the wrong case. I don't know. All I remember in those old days, it was a pretty rough deal. One particular incident, and the guy that we even had trouble with him today in our place, and I think Howard knows about it because I was pretty annoyed. We used to buy the old 50 waters. I think there were 203s or two, not 217s, that's the rectifier, right, Bruce? 203s and the 203Ds and the Es. Well, we had a heck of a buy. We bought them at $9, and of course, those days, 10%, selling them for $10 was a terrific deal. We made $1 was a good profit those days. You had no overhead and no unions. Down with the bosses. So the turnaround, I sold an awful lot of these 203s, but every once in a while you get some of them stupid hands, you know, that had the beads in the Yiddish mezuzah in the other pocket, and he figured, gee, he can't do that to me. The stuff is no good, and he burnt the tubes out. So we had to make them good because those days we had to advertise in QST. Today we must. But we got, so we had quite a few returns, and I remember, I was pretty annoyed, we had about 20% returns, that included meters, crystals, there was no way of really telling who did the dirty work, but we got blamed for it. So I remember putting the two 203s on the counter and left them there for about a week, and sure enough, they disappeared. And 2 weeks later, the guy came in and wanted a rebate, the damn things didn't work. See? So, that's no kidding, this fella, and this is the same fella that I bought back a Kern squared galvanometer 4 times. It's a good thing I knew the serial numbers, but I could never prove it. See? But this is some of the things that we went through with this lad here. I'm just trying to think of some of the fast ones. Oh, I had to write these down, yes. Transmitter. I remember when we went on a broadcast band one time, I didn't know any different, and we got going there, and gee, sure enough, we had a whole mob in the store on Madison Avenue. And sure enough, a woman calls in on the phone. She says, will you get that dizzy husband of mine out? He went out of that place of yours. He went down to the store for a bottle of milk 2 hours ago, and I hear him talking in the background. And I remember that on our broadcast band. And then there was, I got, Oh, yeah, the one I'll leave you with this. One real tough one was when we moved from Madison Avenue to North Pearl Street, we decided to have an auction sale. In fact, we had several, but this one in particular, well, one was by the creditors, but don't laugh, it did happen. But this fellow here came in, and we closed the doors, and we had a pretty good auctioneer, but he didn't know from nothing, as they say, and he asked me to get up and describe the piece of merchandise, and I described the A and B eliminator, and how all you had to do is just plug it in, and there she was. So this fella, with another piece of equipment, bid $115 for it, and sure enough, he was the only bid because the auctioneer was knocking him off to Mr. Wahlberg all the time, you know, really bidding this poor donkey up. He was a gray-haired old duffer, and he bought it, and he came back that night when we had the evening auction, and brother, he raised hell. He says, this is a fake, this auction. He says, I never seen anything like it. This thing don't work in front of a lot of people. So we were pretty much upset, and I was only a youngster just starting out then, so I said, well, did you do what I said to do, hook this up and hook that up? And he says, yes, I did everything you said. I said, did you plug it in? He says, plug in what? I says, plug it into the juice. He says, well, I have no current. See? And, I mean, those were some of the things we run into. And then we did have, I remember the crystals. We used to grind crystals. There was old man Ford, Warren Ford over there in Schenectady, who's still grinding away. And he had us. He helped us make crystals. I remember working till about 4 o'clock in the morning, those Y-cut crystals, and by God, I did grind. Oh, brother, I ground 40 one night, and I think we had every frequency but the one I sold them at. The fellas really were... they were $2.75. What'd you expect, diamonds? You know? And that is some of the early... Oh, one very important thing happened. We had an ad on used meters. I remember in the classified ad in QSC going back to 27 or 28 or 29, somewhere in there we bought an awful load of meters from the Dodge people that had their own transmitting station, the motor people. And we put the meter, we paid $4 for them and sold them for $4.75, which was a nice markup. Say, ooh, Rayco coils. Jesus. You got to take the gas pipe to handle it. Did that profit? Well, I'm losing money, but it's a volume. Look at the poor capitalist. So anyway, we put the ad in at $4.75, and QST those days weren't in the habit of sending you proof, especially in classified. You didn't get one. So the ad, they made a mistake and left the $4 off, and the meters were out for 75 cents apiece. But I'm going to tell you, we must have had about 8,000 or 9,000 orders for 75-cent meters. Every goddamn laboratory, every industrial in those days, there weren't too many, but everybody sent us in money orders for those meters. Well, we had to get a form letter out and justify the typographical error. And the funny part about it is we got a clean bill of health, not that I wouldn't want to do it intentionally again. I never had that disease, and I hope I don't get it again. But anyway, we had about 8,000 or 9,000 or 10,000 names. It was a pretty rough deal answering the mail, but one good thing did come out of it. We had a beautiful mailing list, and all I can tell you is that I made money on the mailing list because I sold it to that guy that always points you to, can earn rich rewards in radio, you know. The Smith guy. So I sold it to him for $8 or $9 a thousand. So it was a good deal, and I didn't lose any money. And thank you very much.